Good evening, friends. My name is Tony. My friends and I are members of Grace Fellowship Church here in Davenport, Iowa, out off of West Kimberly. I hope you enjoy tonight's game. Hope you have a safe and enjoyable time at the park tonight. My friends and I are here tonight. We've handed some of you gospel tracts. We're holding some signs. Obviously, the reason we're here should be obvious. We want to bring to you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that your sins can be forgiven. The good news that you can be reconciled to the God who created you. The good news that you can have the assurance of eternal life. Not through anything you've done to earn or deserve it. Not by going to church on Sunday. Not by doing good works. But by and through what God did for sinners like you and me. We are all part of the ultimate statistic, my friends. 10 out of 10 people die. It's not a scare tactic, simply a reality of the world that we live in. 160,000 people die around the world every day. Most of them, I think we can confidently assume, did not plan to die today. But nonetheless, people live and people die. But that's not the end of it. The Word of God says it's appointed once for a person to die, and after that, judgment. When we die, we are going to stand before the God we know. And I say the God we know because there are no atheists, there are no skeptics, there are no agnostics. Every human being, whether or not they suppress the truth they know about God, knows that God exists. Every human being knows that. God has written the reality of His existence on our hearts. He testifies to His glory through His creation. And He has given each of us a conscience. We all know the difference between right and wrong. Because we are all image bearers of our Creator. Now, regardless of what generation we're from, regardless of what nationality we are, regardless of what part in the social economic strata we find ourselves, we are all image bearers of our Creator. My friends, you and I know the difference between right and wrong, again, because God has written that reality on our hearts. We know it's wrong to lie, not because mommy and daddy taught us, not because we learned that in school. We know it's wrong to lie because we were created in the image of God, and the God who made us is not a liar. We know it's wrong to steal for the same reason, not because we got caught and punished, but because we are created in the image of God, and the God who made us is not a thief. We know it's wrong to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. We know it's wrong to worship gods of our own imagination or to participate in false religion. We know that's true because we were created in the image of the one true God. And He is not a blasphemer or an idolater, as so many of us are. We know it's wrong to harbor bitterness or resentment in our heart. We know it's wrong to hate another human being regardless of the reason. And we know that because we were created in the image of God, and the God who made us is not a murderer at heart, as so many of us are. So that's why the Word of God says that we are without excuse. None of us will be able to claim innocence or ignorance to violating the law of God because He has written it on our hearts. And because God is good, because He is holy, righteous, and just, He must punish sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin, what we've earned, what we deserve for our sin, is death. The punishment that God has determined for sin, all sin, is eternity in hell. I don't say that to you. God bless you, sir. I don't say that to you because I want you to go to hell. I'm saying that to you because I don't want you to go. Friends warn their friends when their friends are in danger. And so when I speak about things like sin and righteousness and judgment and hell, it's not pointing a finger at you while three are pointing back at me. It's not because I am better than you in any way. It's not because I'm not a sinner, because all of us have sinned. I'm telling you these things because I love you as my neighbor. The two greatest commands of God are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And friends warn friends when their friends are in danger. Now this same God who is angry with the wicked every day, this same God who will judge the world in righteousness, is the same God who is also loving, merciful, gracious, and kind. And he showed that great love some 2,000 years ago when God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Truly God and truly man and without sin. He was with the Father in creation. All things were created by him and through him and for him. Nothing has ever been made that was not made by Jesus Christ, and that includes you and me. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah who will judge both the living and the dead. He is the Lord of every man. The Word of God says that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That doesn't mean he's a wealthy rancher. That means he owns everything that he's made. And that includes you and me. We're not independent of God. We are not autonomous from God. He owns everything that he has created. And he is free to do what he wants with his creation because he is God. And that God would show grace or mercy to anyone is more grace and mercy than any human being deserves. And he sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, truly God and truly man, and without sin. He was born of a virgin, just as the prophet Isaiah declared more than 700 years before his birth. He lived a perfect life as God in the flesh, from cradle to grave, a perfect life in perfect obedience to his Father in heaven, in thought, word, and deed, and he lived that perfect life for some 33 years, a life that you and I are utterly incapable of living for so much as 33 seconds. And then at a time appointed before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, voluntarily went to a Roman cross. He suffered and died a horrific, bloody death he did not deserve, to take upon himself the punishment you and I rightly deserve for our sins against God. And unlike every false god created in the imaginations of men, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He is alive today, and he will return at a time of the Father's choosing, a time that no person knows. If someone comes up to you and says, Jesus is coming back this day or that day, you can know one thing for certain, they don't know Jesus. He was buried, he rose from the grave, and he now sits at the right hand of power. And what God commands of you and me, and all people everywhere, is not that you accept Jesus. Jesus doesn't need your acceptance. Jesus doesn't need my acceptance. We need his. What God commands of all people everywhere, beginning with me, is that we repent, that we turn from our sin, and by faith and by faith alone, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And the good news, my friends, is that if God does that miraculous work in you, if he literally causes you to be born again, born from above, he will take a heart of stone that's at enmity with God, and he will give you a heart of flesh, a new heart. And with that new heart will come new desires. You'll begin to love the things that God loves. You'll begin to hate the things that God hates, namely your own sin. And you can have the assurance of forgiveness of your sin. Not on the basis of anything you've done to deserve it. Not because you go to church on Sunday and live like hell Monday through Saturday. But because of the grace and mercy and love of Almighty God that would allow His one and only, His perfect and precious and priceless Son to die on behalf of sinners like you and me. See, my friends, you can have the assurance of eternal life. You can say in the open air like this with a loud voice, I know I'm going to heaven. Not because of who you are, but in spite of who you are. And because of what Jesus Christ did on behalf of sinners like us. So I do hope you will enjoy the game. I do hope you will have a good evening. But more importantly, my hope is that you would receive the love and mercy and grace of God and that you would turn to Christ and live while God has given you time. Thank you for listening.